This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey, ladies, welcome back. This is episode 101, and I'm talking to my friend Stacy Thacker. Stacy is a girl mom, and she has been dealing with so many things one after another for several years, and it's really driven her deeper and closer to the Lord, and she has a lot of really great things to talk about today. Before we get started, though, I wanted to give a big thank you to this week's sponsor, Love Justly. Love Justly makes buying ethical fashion affordable. They only partner with fair trade social mission companies so that you can be completely sure that every dollar you spend creates a ripple effect of opportunity for someone else. Head to lovejustly.com to learn more about them and to buy something cute for yourself today. So my friend Stacy has written a lot of books, most recently one called Fresh Out of Amazing, about that time that she accepted that she is just not going to be amazing all the time. Have you accepted that yet? I still wrestle with that, as dumb as it is. Sometimes in our lives, it just feels like thing after thing after thing happens and we cannot catch our breath. Well, that is where Stacy's been for a while, with the loss of her father, the chronic disease diagnosis of her daughter, and then her husband, out of nowhere, had a massive heart attack. God has faithfully met her and taught her so many things, though, in these deep, secret, difficult places. And I cannot wait to share with you all the wisdom that she has learned. So let's go ahead and get started. Yay, well, we finally made this happen. Wow.
I know. Sorry. It's like probably the longest you've talked about doing something and then it didn't materialize.
I mean, gosh, I just feel like I went on vacation and I don't know if I want to go on vacation anymore. It's hard.
You need a vacation from your vacation, right?
I know. It's terrible.
It's so true. It's so much work. I really think vacations for moms are like the hardest thing.
They are.
It's all true.
Yeah. You're just washing dishes in a different place.
That's right. And you're living out of a suitcase and like nobody's in routine and everything's all bets are off. So That's a whole episode right there.
It's true.
That's totally probably why true. We don't go on vacation.
No, we never do. And I was so excited. And then now I'm like, I might have to burn my house down and start over. This is so bad over here.
So you're back, right? You're back from vacation.
I'm back. And I'm just like so itchy from a bad sunburn and no clean clothes, no food. Not a fresh vegetable or fruit in this house.
Well, in time.
Yeah. Well, Stacy, will you tell us a little bit about who you are?
Well, my name is Stacy Thacker. I am a wife of Mike. We've been married 23 years, which is pretty amazing.
That's a long time.
It feels like 5, so I don't know where the 23 came from, but
that's good. You know, that's a good sign.
It's a very good sign. We have 4 daughters. Yes, we are a one-of-a-kind family. So they range in age from 17 down to 7. And then we have a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old in the middle.
Okay.
So our 17-year-old is going into, I'm not even ready for this, her senior year.
Wow.
Senior. That is like crazy. Like I remember my senior year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little crazy. I'm in denial, complete denial over that.
Are you feeling like sad about it or excited about it?
I'm pretty sad. Okay. I mean, I'm excited for her because she is such an extraordinary young woman, but she's a little scared about it. And so I think I'm kind of also feeding off that a little bit. She's my typical firstborn. She's super careful. She's very... she's personally aware of who she is and all those things, but she's always been the careful planner. And, you know, she's not the one that's going to like run out and grab, and she's going to make her decisions very carefully. So we had planned to do some college visits this past spring, but life shifted and we weren't able to do that. So we've taken the SAT. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
So we're getting to be seniors, but we have done nothing to prepare for the future at all. So, you know, it's a little nerve-wracking.
So good.
Really living in the now right now. So
yes. And I want to talk about that.
Yeah. It's a big now.
Yeah. Okay. So you wrote, well, first of all, before we get into all that serious stuff, you hate TV theme songs. You said, why?
Well, it's not just TV theme songs. It's it's like kid sitcom TV theme songs. Like, okay. So it's like when my kids are, this is a pet peeve. Okay. So when my kids are watching Netflix, which we do Netflix and Prime and all those things. Uh-huh. And so they'll sit for hours. Let's just be honest. Uh-huh. There's a lot of TV watching going on in my house and has been for some time. Okay. So they'll watch series after series, like episode after episode of like one series.
Okay.
And every 20 minutes, this theme song is like the loudest thing in my home. And so I'm often yelling like every 20 minutes, mute the TV, please mute the TV. Because it just, that's all I can hear. Like you don't hear the dialogue, you just hear the theme song. So.
Yeah, I do. I feel like it's louder for sure.
It's so much louder and they're so annoying, like particularly annoying. So.
Which is your worst?
The worst? You know what? My girls watch this mermaid show called H2O. Okay. Oh my goodness. That one is just, it's just bad.
Okay.
Yeah. It's annoying. It's about mermaids and it's all the things that little girls love and you know.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me, do you remember any of the theme songs from your childhood TV shows? Because I love the Facts of Life theme song.
Oh, totally. I'm not going to sing it, but you can.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the Facts of Life.
That's a good one. Well, Brady Bunch, of course.
Okay. It's funny because they weren't annoying to us.
They weren't. But then again, we didn't watch 10 episodes at once. We had to wait like a week. At least if it was on after school, like some of those shows were on after school, you at least had to wait a day. You didn't watch 10 episodes in an afternoon.
That's so a very good point.
The annoying factor like spread itself out.
Yes, right. For sure. Okay. Yep. All right. Just had to get that out of the way. I want to talk about that.
Good. We have to be honest.
So your book, Fresh Out of Amazing, I love it. I think we're both type A. You said you are, and I know I am from experience.
Definitely.
So I loved the organization of it. I love the practicalness of it. It was very encouraging, but very honest. And I think one of the quotes I pulled out that I loved, it says, gratefully, God works not because of what I bring to the moment, but because of who he is. Mm-hmm. And being performance-based, I really want it to go well. And you have been just in this, seems like a long season. You can tell me, but from an outsider looking in, it seems like a really long season of, I just don't have any control over this situation, but control is what I really love. So also, I love the tagline, the pressure to be a go-getter when all you want to do is get going and stay gone a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about what's been going on with you, because it started with your daughter having a health scare and now your husband.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, if we even go back further than that, I think what God is, he's very gracious to let us live out our stories and to, as writers and communicators and women that really want and care about pouring into the lives of other women, God is really faithful to let us live out our messages. So even if you go back even to Hope for the Weary Mom, which really started through a blog post that I wrote years ago, and I just had come to the end of myself, which I really think I had before, but I had just never said it out loud because, you know, I like that control and I like people to think I'm fine. It's good. We're good. We're doing great. Yeah. But suddenly here I was with four kids and completely overwhelmed and I just couldn't do it anymore. And so when I first said that out loud, I really thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only one hiding in my bedroom or wanting to run to Target or wanting to just like drown my sorrows in Starbucks. Like I thought I was the only one that didn't feel like I could make the cut as a mom. I really had that feeling that I was alone. And so I remember very clearly with Hope sitting in a big pile of laundry and just finally breaking and thinking that was the worst thing ever. But it actually was the best thing that I could have ever done because I declared my neediness to the Lord. I told him that I needed him. And for the first time in probably my entire life, I heard him say, I'm so glad you finally realized that, you know, that you really need me, that you were in fact made to need me. And so when the Lord met me in a very precious way in that first journey with Hope, he told me to write. And I remember thinking, write, like, be honest, like really write real and raw. Like I had been blogging for a while, but I had never really been quite that honest. And so I sat down and wrote this blog post. And in that blog post, it actually had the title Fresh Out of Amazing in it. Okay. But when that sparked and moms like around the country said, I feel the same way. I feel like I need hope too. Mm-hmm. We never really, we being my co-author, Brooke McLaughlin, I never really considered using Fresh Out of Amazing for that particular book. It was called Hope for the Weary Mom.
Yeah.
I love that title because I think everybody needs hope, right? And so God began to do that work. And the way I describe it and Fresh Out of Amazing is kind of like a fixer-upper. Like we all love that show. Like when you go and they buy the broken down house, like it's clear. it needs some love, right?
Yeah.
It's usually got like walls falling down and ugly paint, and they're going to pull down the windows. And there were very clearly in my early mothering years, some things that were causing weariness and things that needed to be fixed in my life that would have been visible to anyone who saw me or met me that I, you know, was willing to let see that, right?
Okay.
Maybe not at church because we tend to hide well there, right?
It's terrible, but yes.
I used to, now not so much. So there were some things on the outside, and God did an amazing work through Hope for the Weary Mom and writing and getting to do that journey with Brooke. And I met some incredible moms, and I really saw God show me that He was a God of hope. Mm-hmm. And that He wants us to abound in hope. And really the key in that is pressing into Him, admitting you need Him, inviting Him into your messy places, prayer, and encouraging your heart through God's word. Like, that was a true work. Mm-hmm. But for me, the deeper work was what came out through Fresh Out of Amazing, which is this feeling for years. And I think it just goes very deep. And maybe it's our type A personality, or I don't know what it is, but that feeling that I need to be amazing all the time, mm-hmm. and that I'm responsible for all the things. So mm-hmm. that deeper work that God began to do just showed me that at some point you're going to run out of amazing, you know, at some point. In the front part of the book, as you mentioned, it really just talks about the different ways we hit that wall. And it's different for a lot of women. It's not all the same. I actually have experience in all of those ways because, again, God allows us to really walk what we speak and teach and what we share. But for me, most recently where I've walked, and as you mentioned, with my daughter and with my husband, but even before that was losing my dad. So really kind of what sparked this journey with this particular message was grieving the loss of my dad. Okay. I'd already been thinking about Fresh Out of Amazing and what this book would be and how it would be different from Hope. Like, what's different about it? Because it feels similar. They're definitely connected. But Fresh Out of Amazing became this deeper work really in my heart. So it really began with losing my dad. And there's a chapter in Fresh Out of Amazing called When You Feel Like You've Lost Your Song in the Valley of Bitterness. And it really tells the story of Naomi and how Naomi suffered all these hard things. And just recently, as we've, and I'll mention that as we go along, I've become even more kindreds with Naomi and her story. Of course, we know Ruth and everybody loves Ruth and we all want to be Ruth. But there's something about Naomi and the repeated things that she went through that made me realize that sometimes our stories are layered and God's going to do a work and He's going to keep working and He's going to still be faithful in each of those things. But we have to, it's like every moment, every new thing that we go through, we have to trust Him even more, surrender even more. And that's really where I've been, is Him just keep asking me, Stacey, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me with this?
That was one of my questions. Like, what is each one successively? Because it seems like there've been so many. My question was, what does each successive thing, how do they look different from one another?
You know, I'm not sure that they're exactly different, except that they're deeper. Like, I think it's a deeper work. I think one of the things that I've really walked through is this verse from Romans, and I firmly believe it's Romans 5:3-5. And sometimes I, do you ever flip scripture references? Like, is it Romans 3:5-3? Or I think it's 5:3-5. I should check. About this idea where Paul says that suffering produces endurance and endurance produces character and character produces hope.
Yeah, definitely Romans 5.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely Romans 5. Thank you. But this idea for me, it hasn't necessarily been a different thing. It's a deeper work. So when my dad passed away suddenly, he had battled cancer for 5 years, but died suddenly. It was this feeling of just feeling like I had lost my anchor, because my dad, I could no longer go to that guy that always told me everything was going to be fine and that he loved me no matter what. And I had a great relationship with my dad. And just going through that year of grieving, of really for the first time losing someone that I love dearly, you know, walking through that. With my daughter, it was more of a, possibly more of a control issue, as you said, realizing that I can't fix all the hurts. I can't save her. And I begged God. She was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease that has just really taken us about 2 years of intense, hard hospital stays and treatments and all sorts of things. And she was diagnosed right before she was 9. So, I mean, she's not a big girl. She's a little girl. And so watching her walk through those things was hard.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to fix it. You know, I wanted to be the one to tell her it was going to be okay and that God was going to heal her and that it was going to get all better. Mm-hmm. But just walking daily with struggle. I mean, that's the title of your podcast, Struggling Well. Like, I've been learning that in spades with her. Like, how do you struggle, but yet trust the Lord that it's going to be well is it's also going to be well. I mean, it's a hard balance, really.
What do those conversations look like with her?
Lots of tears.
Okay.
And so with her, there's been a lot of why from her, like, mommy, why is this happening to me? And I don't really have that answer, you know, and I found myself with her realizing that I don't necessarily have to have the answer, that I just have to be, I have to enter into it with her and hold her and love her and tell her that she's not alone and that we can do it together and that we need to know that the Lord has a purpose in her story and that she may not see it. You know, we've been able to share her story at church and some with her friends, and she has graciously, even at her young age, wants me to write about it because she knows that's a large part of our story. Okay. And she's seen people benefit from that.
Okay.
But it's really just been just reassuring her that she's not alone, that God is with us, and that he does bring good from it. Now, one of the things she told me even about a year ago that I thought was so profound was she said, you know, mommy, before I got sick, I didn't really think that much about God. She goes, I loved God. I went to church. She said, but since I've been sick, I have prayed and thought about God every day. And she said, so I'm grateful that God has allowed me to go through this because I really feel like he's changed me through it. Whoa. I mean, I was when she was 10, right? So I have learned so much from her, even in the process of just really holding on to Jesus and realizing that he's with us. We don't always have answers for why we go through things like this.
Can I ask you about practically balancing your other three daughters and your marriage?
In the midst of that, that's hard. I'm not going to lie. That's been one of the hardest things. We have, as I said, four girls. And, you know, you tend to go where the squeaky wheel is, right? So whoever needs you most, I mean, you're always there. But it really did change us as a family. It shook our faith. I know that in conversations I had with my older daughter, it was a real fence post for her, them seeing their sister sick in the hospital. I mean, that was hard. Mm-hmm. Trying to get one-on-one time with them when you have one child that's super needy, that's a challenge. I'm not sure that I've done it well. Because at some point you just have to say, I'm doing the best that I can, you know,
right.
And you can't be everything at every moment for every one of your children. I think that too goes back to that feeling like there's expectations that I set for myself to be the mom, super mom, do it all. And I have to trust that God is going to meet them in their need. And if it's not me, it's my husband, of course, it's a grandparent or it's friends who, you know, moms of friends who step in and, you know, I have to trust that if there's a need that I can't meet because of life, that God is going to take care of that. And he certainly has, but it's affected them in deep ways, especially for the baby, our youngest, at her going through it. Cause she was around five, I guess, when this all started. Okay. Cause I wasn't there, you know, in the early days of her illness, we were at the hospital. And so that was really hard. You just kind of approach it moment by moment and you just try to, you know, you assess, okay, who needs what, when, you know, and you just can't. And you just have to just open-handedly say, Lord, I need you in this moment. I can't do it. Okay. That's been hard. That's been another factor of being fresh out of Amazing.
Yeah.
It's just sticking away of everything of what I'm unable to do. But God has been very faithful in all those things.
Okay. How do you, because with her diagnosis, there's no kind of foreseeable end to it. It's a chronic condition. Right. So it's not like you can go, oh, but this time next year we'll be at Disneyland or something. Yeah. How do you kind of make it a marathon so you don't completely run out of everything?
Yeah. You know, especially with our most recent trial, one of the things that I've really tried to do is not get too far ahead of that moment. Okay. We have an amazing team of doctors who I trust, a lot of prayer, and just trying to take today for what it is and realize I can't let fear push me around. I've done that. And I mean, fear is a huge thing, especially as a mom. She's your baby, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, that fear has banged on my door several. I mean, that's a constant struggle. Okay. But just realizing that I have today and we have this moment. And you know what? Future things are secret things. I'm not supposed to have those answers anyway. Okay. I can be afraid that maybe the treatment we're doing now may be detrimental for her down the road. I don't know that. But we have to treat now with what we know. And so it is a huge walk of faith.
Okay.
I'm still learning it.
Yeah.
I don't have all the answers. It's very fluid in our home.
Yeah.
But 2 years in, I think I'm in a better place than I was. And I've been able to turn around and help some people that are now going through similar things and felt like I had something of value to contribute to their situation. And so that's a blessing. That's one of the good that comes from the hard.
Yeah. Okay. So now your husband, your provider, you know, your earthly kind of security in some way, like then he gets sick.
Yeah. So what's interesting is for the past several springs, we've had big things happen in our home. So 3 years ago, my dad passed away in the spring. And then 2 years ago, my daughter was diagnosed. And then the following year, she was really critical. So last spring was hard too. So I really hit this spring, like January, I was so hopeful.
Okay.
It's going to be a great spring. Like we were going to, you know, do our schoolwork well. And I was going to be in a writing season and a study season. And I was going to write all summer. And I had all these big plans. And all of that came to a screeching halt. It completely came to a screeching halt in February. And my husband suffered a cardiac arrest. Out of the blue, no signs. It was a complete and utter holy disruption in our lives. He was in the hospital for a month. I will tell you that he is a miracle, that every medical doctor that we saw in those first hours gave us no hope, like none, like no hope. So I really walked through that first few days convinced that he wasn't going to come through it, at least on this side of heaven. And that was a really hard and difficult place to be. I mean, obviously.
That's an understatement. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. But God stepped in and, he took us in a direction I hadn't anticipated at that moment and miraculously reached down and saved him. And so he's doing well, according to doctors. He's exactly where he needs to be. But this particular kind of recovery is hard. And so he's finally getting back to work. It's been about 14 weeks or so, I think, since the event, slowly back to work. He's still doing rehab, but it's been an incredibly long journey. And I will tell you, this in particular has really shook me.
Okay.
In a different way. And I think, and I was thinking about this the other day, you know, when you have kids or you have, every time you add a child to your home, it takes a little bit more time. Like if you have one child or two, like every time you add something to your life, even if it's not kids, if it's a job or it's a bringing in a parent into your home, whatever, it takes more time to recover. And I remember when I added my third child, just feeling like, why am I not bouncing back? Mm. I should be better. And I ran into a mom who had a couple more kids than I did. And she said, oh, honey, it takes every time there's a new thing, it takes longer to rebound. And I was thinking about this in regard to the hard things we've struggled with over the past few years. Like this one, I feel like my rebound is much deeper. Like, you know, that feeling like, okay, I went way farther into my heart, myself, coming back out into the comfort of fellowship and friends and ministry and writing and all the things, it's taken me longer and I'm still not quite there.
Sounds like you're, at least in identifying it, you don't turn inward and go, there's something wrong with me.
Right. Oh, no, no. I'm sure that it's normal. I know that there's definitely healing, like emotional healing. And there's really not, I don't think there's a lot out there when you go through this kind of trauma. Like what happened with my daughter was traumatic, obviously, and prepared us for sure. But it was a slow unwinding. With my husband, it was a sudden heart stopped trauma. Like it was from one moment, everything was fine. The next moment you have no, you know, future, your future is in hanging in the balance, like literally walk the valley of the shadow of death, like walked through it, came through the other side. Like, so with that sort of thing, I don't know that there's a lot out there about how you emotionally pick up the pieces from your life. Right. Yeah. So, but what I've seen the Lord show me is that it's okay to take time to heal, that you have to do that. And so even in trying to get back to some level of functioning, I've tried to give myself that time, tried to tend my heart well, but life goes on, right? Mm-hmm. You've got kids, you've got expectations and all sorts of things. So I'm still obviously not on the other side of it. I'm still figuring that out. I told someone the other day that it really feels like, you know, when Lazarus, Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, mm-hmm. and he had the grave clothes were still on him. Like he like hopped out, right? Which I think is kind of funny. Like, why didn't Jesus just call him out unbound, right? Like, why didn't he do that? Well, I really feel like it was probably for Martha. Like, I think Martha had to literally unwrap all those grave clothes, you know? Okay. And so that is where I feel like I've been for weeks, is I feel like I'm unwrapping even my own grave clothes. Like every layer brings a layer of healing or hope or hard and good. And it's getting better, but it's still every layer that unwraps almost like a weekly basis is still hard and good.
Okay.
So I'm still unwrapping, I guess, is the unraveling.
So talk to me about just the weariness that comes from each successive trauma. How do you talk about that with your kids? Because they're experiencing all of that with you, but they're so much younger and less mature.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that was, especially with the situation with my husband, was the hardest thing, was walking through it with my girls. in many different ways. Number one, I didn't know what to tell them. You know, how honest do you need to be with them? And they're all different ages. I had a conversation with my pastor on day one, and he just encouraged me to be really honest with them and to trust that God would provide that grace in that moment. And so it was what I needed to hear, because I didn't know if I needed to protect them or bring them into it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that first Friday, because it happened on Thursday night, on the first Friday, I sat them down. Now, the older girls I talked to, and then I talked to the younger. So there's quite a bit of an age difference. My conversation with my older girls was a little leaned more honest and detail oriented than it did with my littles. But from that beginning conversation, we've had a lot of times where we've just gathered and just talked and just worked through some things. Since he's been home and since we've been in recovery and all sorts of rehab things, it's been more one-on-one and just checking on them.
Okay.
You know, we're an all-girl household, so words are everywhere in our home, really, right?
Yeah.
And it's just trying. I know with one of my girls in particular, I have to get her out of the house. I have to be face to face with her, maybe at Panera or another place. Another daughter, it'll happen more along the way. My little is going to come up and get on my lap and get what she needs from me physically. So It's just been being willing to bring them into it without protecting them from it. Because I think what my pastor told me in that first day, and I think this is such amazing shepherding advice, is that kids, if you're not honest with them, at least to what they're able to take, they're going to invent something else. They're going to fill in the gaps with whatever you don't tell them, and it's going to be worse. So they're going to suspect that something is bad or hard, and you just need to be honest with them. And and then he also told me, which I thought this was so profound, is that you need, there's something your kids have that you need. And it was so true, because when I sat down with my girls through tears and told them that I couldn't answer their questions, whether or not their dad was going to make it, they gave something back to me that I needed as their mom. I needed them to look at me and say, we're going to be okay. Like, we'll be do this together. Like, I needed them. They're my team, right? They're my people. They're the ones I walking through this was the hardest with.
Yeah.
They understood more than anybody, obviously.
True. And we don't think that they have anything to offer us.
Oh, but they did.
Yeah,
they did. And just even we stopped and prayed, and just talking with them always brought a sense of grounding for me because they're my family. Right. And so I wanted to protect them, but I knew at some level I had to bring them into it too.
Okay.
So I think that was just some of the best advice. And it gave me that kind of that push of bravery that I needed. And I was able to do it. It was the hardest thing. That was the hardest part of this, is walking with my girls through this tragedy. But wow, what a story for them to be able to tell that they've seen God do an absolute miracle in our family. It's pretty unbelievable.
Does part of you ever feel like, for reals, God?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, not just that. I think in the early days especially with my husband, I was in shock. So I hadn't got, it took me a while to get there. I had some friends who were kind of, I would say, righteously angry on my behalf.
Okay.
There's times I feel that way. I think what I'm doing, Emily, is I've shifted. I used to think life is great. Woohoo. And you know, it's awesome. And we have this great stuff. And then things are hard. And then you come back to the good. And then things are hard. But I think what I've really began to realize is, and I think it was, which sounds very smart, but I read it as a quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer that said, suffering is the badge of discipleship. Mm. And that's not very uplifting in the sense that, suffering,
yay.
But it's not just suffering, but suffering well and trusting God through it. I mean, everybody suffers. Everybody has stuff, not just disciples. But our badge is that even if, and this is one of the messages in Fresh Out of Amy, even if I lose everything, even if there's no cattle in the stalls and there's no crops in the field, and even if everything falls apart, I will still rejoice in the Lord my God. And that's Habakkuk's final call, is worship. And so I've tried to get there. It's been a journey. It's not happened quickly. It's a process. But I have felt along the way that this place, this wilderness, is really where we learn to walk as believers. It's Isaiah 35 says, the highway of holiness, which is in the wilderness, is where the redeemed learn to walk. And that is, as I've pressed in and walk with the Lord, I've seen that it's more often than not that I'm walking in the wilderness, but yet I come out singing, if that makes any sense as well. So the promise is not to be alone. The promise is that there's purpose. There's promises that there's other people there that are watching you walk through it. The promise is that the Lord is glorified through it in some way. It's not just to injure us, but it's to make us like him and mature us and build our character in the process as well.
Yeah. So you're different.
Oh, I hope. I hope that those who know me would say, yeah, she's grown. Oh, yeah, definitely. I went through that Romans 5 verse, and this year I knew my word was character, and I was not happy about it. But as we walked into the year, and now we're almost halfway through, I'm like, okay, I get it, Lord. I think he cares about us so much, Emily. I think he cares about us too much to leave us selfish and unaware of what's going on and hidden in our own hearts. I think he wants to draw us out and connect us with other people and to impact the world for him and to tell our stories and point to him. I think that's a huge part of my story, is that it has to be, it's him. It's not me. That's fresh out of amazing, which is, if you see anything in me that you would go, oh, that's amazing. Oh, that's only the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the Lord's work in my life, not me.
Absolutely. You told me that you would encourage a mom that their breaking point often births a bigger story. And I think your life is just a testimony to that, especially these hard seasons you're walking in. I don't really have a question because you've already said it, but we were made to need Jesus and not to resist it, because I do. I don't want to need him. And I think, I mean, obviously I know that but in my flesh, I feel that needing Jesus is a failure on my part.
Right.
Instead of exactly what I was supposed to do.
I think we so want to be able to do everything on our own. I mean, it's like our toddlers, right? I can do it. No, I do it, mommy. You know, I mean, how many times my girls said that to me, and even my older girls in their teenage years, you know, we all do it at different times in our life. But I think it's the whole truth that in our weakness, he's made strong. It's when his character lays over our inability to get through something. Like, I feel like that's when he gets the glory. That's when others see, oh my goodness, there's something different here. It's not that she pulled herself up by her bootstraps and was able to overcome. I mean, we love those stories as humans, like, woohoo, an overcomer. But really, I think as Christ followers, what marks our life is that we are in Christ, that our worth isn't because we can cook a great meal or get our kids out the door with perfect hairdos and matching clothing and straight A's, you know, all those things that we take credit for. Our worth is bound up in who we are in Christ. And I think the whole idea of our breaking point bursts a bigger story is that sometimes the Lord is going to allow us to come to the end of ourselves. And for me, it's been repeatedly over and over and over again, because that breaking point is where he enters in and says, you know what, let meet me here and I will show you the part of your story that's going to turn beauty from ashes and struggle to glory and all those things that make it possible for us to walk with him and trust him. I mean, the whole part about, if we just even take in writing Fresh Out of Amazing, the brokenness that I felt over losing my dad, that birthed an amazing group of women who have now walked through this message and now are like embracing this idea that no matter what circumstances are, I'm going to trust and rejoice and worship the Lord. Like, you not allow the Lord to use your brokenness for his glory, then you don't get to see what he can do with it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. That idea that we don't always get to see it on the front end, but if we allow him to work through that and we trust him, the story he writes is bigger than we can ever imagine. Like, where I am right now, I have no idea what testimony the Lord wants our family to walk out through my husband's event, as we've called it. But I know it's bigger than we can imagine. Yeah. You know, I know that there's something there. There's a reason, and he's going to use it for his glory.
Yes.
I just don't know yet.
Yeah. And it's got to be easier to trust this time, because you're like, oh, well, you did it all the other times and you never change and you're always good. Easier in the way that you know something's coming, not easier to walk through it.
Yes, I think when you have that remember factor, I think that's very prevalent in scripture, where one of the reasons why God's people struggled is they forgot to remember. And we see that, I think it's in Hebrews, where the writer says, they did not remember. You have to keep a record of remembering. You know, I can look back and go, you know, when I lost my dad, that was dark, dark days. But you know what? God was so faithful and he was so tender with me in those days as I grieved. And with watching my daughter go through her struggle, just watching how the Lord carried us. And when I couldn't fix it, and he told me I didn't have to, like, his gentleness and his care as our shepherd and our savior and our rescuer. Like, this is one of the things that I realized with Caroline that was such a big, huge thing for me, is that I am not the rescuer. And Jesus just, like, it took a year into her journey where I just really felt like he leaned in and went, Stacy, you don't have to rescue her. That's not your job. You just have to be her mom. Hmm. You just have to hold her and love her and take her to Trader Joe's and buy her cookie butter and just love on her, right? Yeah. Like, that's your job. You don't have to be the healer or the rescuer.
It's so hard because we have saved them from getting run over by cars, and we have kept them alive by feeding them, you know, even though we're not the ones keeping them alive. I get that. But yeah, it's hard. Wow.
It's hard. And that was one of the big things for me, is to come to that conclusion. I can't rescue my kids. Like, I can be their mom and I can love them well and pray for them. Oh, dear Lord, pray for them. But he's the rescuer. Mm-hmm. He's their healer. And if I try to do that for them, they're never going to reach out for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to not know that they need him as much as they do. And so that's one of the big ahas I've learned through that story. This most current one, God is still, he's still writing that. I'm still journaling and writing and figuring all that out. We're still in process in that one. So
are you feeling more peace about being in process?
Mm.
I love stories that are tied up in a bow, you know, and I, this one is not for you. And yet you're still talking about it.
I've learned over the past few years that it's better for me to be open-handed with my story. I've learned that people, like I would say, like when you're winning and when you're doing great things, people like, oh, wow, you know, they want to be like you, right?
Okay.
But when you are authentic and real and you share your hard things or hard places, people connect with you.
Mm.
So I think I don't do myself or anybody any favors by not sharing the struggles along the way, right? I mean, that's why we're here, to walk together towards Christ in community and become more like him. And we need each other, right? So being in process in front of other people, I had to get real comfortable with that. You know, I think that's that whole, when I finally took off that, what I call the veil of fine, like, oh, I'm fine. I'm wearing my fine veil. I always wondered if people were like, oh, put the veil back on.
We liked you better before.
More and more, I'm seeing women really value that. And I think I just have to trust the Lord with it. It'd be great if there was a bow. I would really appreciate a little bit of a bow at some point.
How do you know what to share and what to keep?
Yeah, that's hard. I think some things the Lord teaches us are for our hearts. And I would call that a savoring word.
Okay.
I've kept a lot close since Mike's cardiac arrest. There was a really long window where I didn't share much. And sometimes I don't share things in regard to personal details about people in my life or my husband or whatever. Like, I don't always share all the details. I think the Lord just makes it clear for me what needs to be shared and what doesn't. I knew with this particular thing with my husband, there were a couple messages that I really felt compelled to share.
Okay.
And I've written about those on the blog. The first one was kind of telling everybody a little bit of the story. And that post was something about what I want you to know, but I'm afraid to tell you.
Okay.
I try to share what the inner workings of my heart are more than the saga on the outside. You know,
no,
people want to know, oh my goodness, what happened? And I'm fine to tell that. But I think sharing what's going on, how I'm processing it, that's more of my journey. And then I shared again about just how the Lord has held us through it. It's called What Breaks and What Holds. It's kind of a funny story. That day that he had his cardiac arrest, my daughter dropped my iPad and shattered it, like just shattered it. And that was in the morning. And I thought that was a big deal. I was like, ugh, my husband's the techie in the family. We're going to have to tell daddy when he gets home. You know, well, that never came, because suddenly that night we were in the ICU. And so it's funny how things take on a different light. But yet that picture of that iPad being shattered was such a picture of what happened in our lives that day. It was like, we shattered. But you know what? Ironically, with that iPad, the glass never fell out. And so I think that's even a picture of where we were as well, is that we were shattered, but we weren't completely broken because God held us.
Wow. Great image.
Yeah. And still shattered. still using it because it's got all my apps on it. But there's another message that I haven't written, and that is that idea about the repeated struggle, the continual, the hard things piling up, feeling like, okay, Lord, when's enough and is enough, you know. I haven't really written through that, and that's probably something that I'll process at some point. And then other things probably will be saved for different later dates, so we'll see.
Okay. Well, I'm thankful that you take the time and have the courage to share those things with us.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for giving spaces for women like me to share those stories.
Yeah. Okay. So we're almost out of time, but I wanted to just ask you, a self-care strategy that you have is Friend Thursday. Tell me about it.
Okay. Friend Thursday is new. And I don't know where it came from really, but here's the thing. one of the things that I've really become aware of is how much I need other people. Again, we like to do things by ourselves. We like to be the ones who have it all together and take care of all the people. And especially through this event with my husband, I've realized how much I need the presence of other people in my life. Literally in those first days, they moved me, they carried me, they handed me food, they made sure I was in a bed. Like, they physically carried me around. And so as I've gone through my own emotional process of healing, I realized that I gain a lot of strength from other people. And so I've started what I call Friend Thursday, which is just a day if people say, hey, let's get together, let's have lunch, or I want to talk or whatever, is that we do it on Thursdays. And so it's good for summer. I have older girls, so they can take care of the youngers. So I've just made Thursday about getting together with girlfriends. And so we have lunch, we have coffee. If I have, I can back up, like do breakfast with one and lunch with another. And, you know, I'm home by dinner or whatever.
That sounds amazing.
It is so cool. And I try really hard, like not to work on those days or not to do things that are taxing beyond relational, to pour into other women and let them pour into me. And it has been so good. I think especially as moms, we've got to set aside time to make sure that we're getting face to face with people that pour into us, and that mutual encouragement. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we need each other. Like, we need someone else to run with us and say, you can keep running. Like, I'm here with you, right? And if we don't tend those relationships, we're going to find ourselves alone. Yeah. And I think God made us for community. It's just been such a sweet, sweet thing. And so I'm going to keep doing it. It's part of my healing process. And it's been super fun. And I've gotten lunch out like several weeks in a row. So that's like my favorite thing.
Yes. I love it. Okay. And so finally, what can you not stop talking about these days?
Okay. So I have found that I am absolutely addicted to pretty much any chocolate chip cookie on the planet. Okay. So I don't know. Have you had the Chick-fil-A chocolate chip cookie yet?
I haven't.
Have you had it? Emily, you need to go. And oh my goodness, they're crazy good.
I like dark chocolate better than milk chocolate.
I think it's a mix. It's very similar to the Panera chocolate chip cookie.
I haven't had that. Okay.
Oh my goodness. See, I do a lot of my writing. I call Panera my office. So when I write, I always get a diet, caffeine-free Pepsi and a cookie. It's like, it's kind of mandatory when you write, for me anyway. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I don't watch a ton of TV. Like, I just don't. My girls will watch, you know, their little sitcoms and stuff. Mermaids, pretty much. And we do like The Voice and those kind of things because we love music around here. But I had started watching this old series on Prime called Lark Rise to Candleford. Okay. It's like 10 years old, I think. It's just beautiful. And they have such great accents and they just make me feel all like life is so wrapped up in 40 minutes and it's like olden days and it's just beautiful.
You need wrapped up in 40 minutes. That's the season
you're in. And I don't need high drama. Like, I know everyone is watching This Is Us. Like, I know everyone is watching that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't enter into that right
now. A lot of crying. Yeah.
I don't need to cry for like an hour about someone else.
Yes. You know,
I've had enough of those tears in my life. So, but I hear it's wonderful. So
I watched several and I really did like them, but I can't find time to watch TV either.
It's hard, right? It's just like, and I don't have the mental capacity. I've been reading a lot. I've been reading some fiction. I just picked up a book. It's not fiction, but it's also amazing, called Struck by Russ Ramsey, which is about him walking through, he had a heart condition that he didn't know about. It's really good. Really, really good. Like, it's like hard and good to read. So that's been good. That's been good for my heart, but a lot of fiction too. And, that's about it.
I love it. And you also, I don't know if you've done it lately, but where you'll like show different outfits.
What I wore, you know, that is a crazy fun thing. And I have gotten away from it because obviously it just wasn't a priority. But that is the one thing, if I meet people like at a conference or maybe at church or whatever, people that I haven't met yet, they'll go, oh, what I wore. Like, that's my favorite thing that you do.
Okay.
People love to see what you're wearing. It's so interesting to me. I started doing it years ago after I had my last daughter, to lose baby weight, start taking a picture of what I wore. It comes from Lindsay. She's from the Pleated Poppy, and she's the one that started it. I just joined in. I just post what I wear, and people love that. They love talking about it. And so that's a very girlfriend thing. Like, I love having those conversations too, because I want to know where you got your cute shoes, right? That's the fun stuff of life. And I think with all the hard things, at some point you got to lighten it a little. You got to be just living your life. And, you know, did you see that sale at Old Navy? I don't know. You have to do that, because living in the hard, if you don't have a little levity at times, you definitely will go crazy. So that's there too.
I love it. Awesome. Well, Stacey, thank you so much. It was so good to
talk to you. I'm so proud of you. I just wanted to say that I'm so proud of you for doing this. And you do such a fantastic job. So thanks for having me. I'm glad we made it happen.
Isn't she so special? Really love her heart and her ability to communicate. Man, she should like write a book or something. Oh, wait, she's written a ton of books. People who are that articulate are so impressive. What really struck me was her words about being open-handed with your story. Like I said, I really like to tell my story if it's in my past and pretty. But I'm working on being better and okay with my in-process story. I loved what she said about if we act like everything's fine all the time, people want to be like us. But if we are authentic, they want to connect with us. And I think we would all rather have relationships that are deep and meaningful than just a bunch of people that wish they could be like us. So that's what I'm going to be chewing on this week. So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week? And I just want you to be able to take one thing away. Being a mom is hard. I want there to be one gem that you can apply to your life this week. So what will it be? Maybe you feel like you are fresh out of amazing and you want to read Stacey's book. I highly recommend it. It's a very good book. Maybe you want to try Friend Thursdays. Doesn't that sound amazing? Don't we all wish we could be like Stacey in that way? And listen, if Friend Thursdays is just not even the beginning of a reality for you in your life, do not just throw it out. What could you do that would be similar to that? Could it just be invite a neighbor over for some cookies that you bought at the Walmart? Although, invite a neighbor over for cookies that you bought at the Walmart Thursday doesn't have quite the same ring to it, but maybe this week you brainstorm ways that you can do a weekly little connecting point with someone in your life if you're in a place where you're feeling a little isolated. Maybe when she was talking about fear pushing her around and that the way that she stopped letting fear push her around was to live in the moment, maybe you take some moments this week and just really focus in on what's going on and don't project yourself way out into the future. It never goes well when you do that. At least it never has gone well when I've done it. Maybe you are a mom and you know deep down you rescue too much. If your kid forgets something at home, you go out of your way to drive it to school for them. If they lose their water bottle, you just buy them a whole nother one. It's fine. And you don't let them feel some of the natural consequences of their actions, or you don't let them see that there's just some really hard things that happen in life sometimes. You just want to protect them and rescue them. Maybe this week you let them fail at something. Maybe you just let them have a natural consequence for something that they've done, or let them in on something real that you've been keeping from them. Because like Stacey said, they will not know they need a rescuer if you're the one that's always rescuing them. Stacey mentioned that it was hard to balance quality time with her family, all the members of her family, when she had the one daughter who was really sick. Maybe you are in a situation where one of your family members requires a lot more of you than the rest, and you can be really intentional about loving well some of the other people in your family who haven't been getting that much from you just because you're one person and you only have so many hours in a day. But maybe this week you can intentionally love the person that's a little bit overlooked in this season. Well, ladies, I hope you were as encouraged as I am about all of Stacey's wise words, and I would love it if you would share this episode with someone who you feel like could benefit from the topic that she was speaking about. As always, you can find the show notes to this episode at momstrugglingwell.com. Come follow along and hear from the Mom Struggling Well community, mainly on Instagram at momstrugglingwell, but also on Facebook too. And this week, when you go to do your shopping and you're buying all the school supplies and all the school books, don't just go to Amazon. First, go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon and you'll get there, but you'll be using the show's affiliate link, and that helps cover some of the costs associated with getting the show produced and all the ins and outs that you are glad you don't have to know about for making a podcast, because it's a little complicated. All right, well, I gotta get going. We're having a party in my neighborhood. It is a macaroni and cheese barbecue pie party, and there is a contest for the best pie, and I have made none of those three things, so I just need to hope that my personality and my stunningly good looks will get me a little bit of food. So anyway, I hope y'all have a great week of struggling well.